Alright, folks, welcome to the Dudes Abide podcast, the only podcast where Canadian Boy and American Moose sit down for an hour and talk about movies. I'm your host, Reed, and sitting
And I'm
next to
Corey.
me, there you go.
Snap.
What are we talking about today?
Well, as of about an hour and a half ago, the Oscar nominations were announced for 2019. And I got in front of me the list of Best Picture nominees, and we're going to talk about them.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
List them off to me.
So there's only eight this year, and I don't have a lot to say about a bunch of them, being that I've only seen two. So we're going to go through the ones that I haven't seen first, just because I have the list in front of me. So Vice. Adam
okay.
McKay.
Vice got mixed reviews, if I am correct. So,
yeah, there's a couple of them on this list that got like canned. So I don't know what happened this year. A Star Is Born, which I haven't seen.
I heard it's really good, and I really do want to see it. But I also know that that's like a worldwide release type movie. They don't usually nominate those kinds of movies for the Oscars.
They nominate some of them, but like not as many as they did.
This entire list is the big ones.
Yeah, I don't really want to see A Star Is Born, but like I think it looks good. I'm just not interested.
Oh,
Roma, which is a foreign language film, which does not happen a lot.
You know, Roma deserves it though. I've been meaning to watch it for a while, but I keep hearing people talk about it often. And that was one I knew was going to get nominated.
The Favorite, which is directed by the man that directed The Lobster, which I love, and I need to see this movie.
I hate The Lobster.
I love The Lobster, sir.
I got it on Blu-ray because it was like a dollar when the movie store in Canada was closing. And I watched it, and I was like, I didn't finish it. That was one of the only movies I didn't finish. Like, there are sometimes where it's like, I will make myself finish a movie, but this one, I just hated so much. I tried to watch it two different times, and I quit both times. It's not a good movie.
It is an incredible film, and probably should have been nominated for Best Picture of the year it was released. Anyways, Bohemian Rhapsody.
That has mixed reviews, and it definitely does not deserve it.
I haven't seen it. I don't think it looks good. I think it looks like it's a Rami Malek performance, and that's all the film. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It doesn't. I don't think I'm interested in seeing it. I will see it, but I don't know.
Green Book.
I don't know what this one's about.
It's Mahershala Ali playing a black pianist who travels around the country doing performances in an era when racism was very much alive. And his chauffeur is a white man. I'm pretty sure it's Viggo Mortensen. I think he was nominated for an actor award. I might be wrong, but it looks really good. And then there are the two films that I have seen that you probably also have seen. We have Black Klansman.
I haven't seen that. I actually have no interest in seeing that movie.
I love Black Klansman. I'm very happy that it got nominated. I think it deserved it.
That's a Spike Lee movie, right?
It's a Spike Lee joint.
Sorry, yeah.
And then there's the last movie, which did not deserve it. I'm going to come out and say it right now. Black Panther.
Honestly, hate me if you will, but Black Panther only got nominated for the things it did outside of film. But
I mean, I feel like it's a pretty, like, it's an important film. Like, I'm not going to act like it's not important. And, like, I don't have any problem with
it's important, but it doesn't, it doesn't deserve it. It's a big CGI mess at so many different points. You're going to nominate a Marvel
The CGI
movie.
Was really, the CGI wasn't the biggest problem. The CGI was really bad at the end, like the rhinos in the fight scene. If I was going to nominate Black Panther for an Oscar, the only Oscar I would have even considered nominating it for was Best Supporting Actor for Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating that, like, I love superhero films, and that's the first one that gets nominated. Not The Dark Knight, not Logan, not even Infinity War. Like, it's Black Panther. Like, which is a good movie. I like Black Panther. It's just not
As
best
good as
picture.
Logan.
It's not like Logan should have been nominated 2 years ago. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Or a year ago, whenever it was released. Okay, so one more thing about the Oscars. Are there any snubs in any category for you?
To be honest, I haven't looked at the list, so I don't really know. I don't think so.
Is there anything that you were like crazy about wanting to get? Because I know you have not seen the list. I watched the announcements. You were asleep. Are there anything that you were definitely wanting to see get nominated for a category? And I could tell you whether or not it was.
I think Paddington 2 should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Was that even out this year?
Was oh yeah. Was Into the Spider-Verse nominated for Best Animated?
Yes, it was, and if it was not, I would have rioted.
Who's nominated for Best Animated? Do you have a list in front of you?
Well, there's Incredibles 2 and Wreck-It Ralph 2, which are obvious ones. There's Spider-Verse, and then there's two other ones. I think there's like two smaller films. Like they might be foreign films.
Okay, well,
Spider-Verse deserved it.
Spider-Verse deserves to win, and if it doesn't, then that's just a Disney
It'll be
paying
very
off
sad.
off the Oscars again. I don't
For
know.
sure.
What's best visual effects? What's nominated for best visual effects?
I honestly can't even remember. I can't look up the list because I'm using my phone and it'll just disconnect everything.
Okay, well, I don't know. I just For visual effects, Christopher Robin was a really good movie.
It might have gotten nominated. I know Christopher Robin was nominated for something early on that they announced.
Most
I
perfect
sent it.
movie of the year. I think that's probably
I don't know about that, but
the one.
okay, is that your snubs or your things you really want?
Yeah.
Because I have a couple I am very strong about. Toni Collette as best actress in Hereditary.
Did that not happen?
It did not happen
That's kind
at
of weird
all,
then.
actually. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen in a horror film. In fact, I'm going to say Hereditary as a whole was snubbed. I don't know who got nominated for Best Supporting Actor, but if Toni Collette didn't get nominated for Best Actress, I can only assume that Alex Wolff did not get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And he deserved it. It deserved Best Picture, too, over Black Panther. And probably a few of these on this list, like Bohemian Rhapsody does not look good. And then that takes me to my second snub and my only other one. First Man. I just underlined it on the page. First Man.
Did that not get nominated?
I don't think, like, it might have gotten nominated for a couple things, but, like, it
Okay, but not
deserved
Best
Best Score.
Picture.
It deserved Best Picture. It probably deserved to get nominated for Best Freaking Director.
Wow. Okay, well, that makes me angry because Black Panther got nominated over First
That's
Man.
what I'm saying, man. First Man deserved all types of nominations. It's such a polished film. It's obviously it's not mind blowing, but it's such a nice film. Like it's an all around like better film than Black Panther.
I
And
agree.
that's all I gotta say about the snubs. If you want to get into today's topic,
You want to get into the meat and potatoes for today?
yeah, we can get into the meat.
Okay, well, today we are listing our top 10 favorite movies of all time because this is a pilot episode, so what better way to start? It's a good way to
We're
get
trying
to
to get
know
funded.
us. It's a good way to get ourselves known. Honestly, I had such a hard time putting this list together. I've had to fine tune it like three or four times, and I couldn't fit all the ones I needed in, so I have three honorable mentions.
What are they?
They are Boyhood, which is one of the most incredible movies I've ever seen. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but that's the one where
I have not. The movie
Oh.
about the 18 years in the making or whatever.
Yeah, that movie is incredible. I can watch it. I watch it like once every 1 or 2 months, and it's so good. I love watching that movie. Drive. I watched Drive like 3 or 4 years ago, and ever since then, it's been one of my favorite movies ever. And it's so hard to leave this out of my top 10.
I like Drive a lot.
I love the soundtrack in it. The soundtrack's awesome. So that's why that's one of the main reasons why I love that film too, 'cause like, man, that's another one where it's just like I can just watch it so many times and I can never get bored of And my third one is 500 Days of Summer. That movie is just so beautifully made. It says it's not like it happens chronologically. The story happens really out of order, and the first time I watched it, I was like, "Okay, what's happening here? I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of scared." But then it got really cool, and I got into the rhythm of things, so I started to understand how things were going, and that really made me enjoy the movie more.
Out of those three films, I have only seen Drive.
You sick.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have three honorable mentions, and I'm just gonna say I did not write down my list until moments before we recorded this. So, but my list, my honorable mentions, number one, Big Lebowski. I watched that for the first time like 2 months ago, so I can't really put that on my list. But like it was amazing, and our podcast is named after it, obviously. And I wanted to go with some more recent films, so maybe this honorable mentions wise, this wouldn't be like 11, 12, 13. But I just wanted to mention a couple recent movies that I love a lot that have the potential to eventually become a top 10 film for me.
Okay.
So we have Moonlight, which is like.
Moonlight, not Moon Knight.
Not Moon Knight, Moonlight. I don't know what Moon Knight is. I don't know what you're watching, but
You said Moon Knight.
definitely said Moonlight, but
No, you
we're just
said
gonna
Moon Knight. Okay, sorry.
I think story-wise, like I was very happy when this won Best Picture because I think it's just like a complete film. Like it From the performances to the story to the direction to the score and the cinematography, I think it's one of the most complete films that have been released in the last like 10 years. And then I wanna my last honorable mention, I wanna say The Shape of Water, because you know how much I love Creature from the Black Lagoon, and this is a basically a better version of that film.
Oh,
I'ma
snap, you're doing
just
a hot take right there.
I'm giving it a hot take, and it is Guillermo del Toro is a big Creature fan. He wanted to make it. They didn't let him make it. He made his own basically unofficial Creature film, and it was better than the original. But yeah, those are my three honorable mentions.
Okay, so let's hop into this top 10. We're gonna go 10 to 1, of course, but we're gonna go I give my 10, you give your 10, and so on
Then
and
we
so
go back
forth.
and forth. Can go first.
Okay, so number 10 for me is a different Spike Lee joint. I got Her, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, among other people.
Did Spike Lee really make that?
Yeah. Spike Jones, sorry. Crap.
I was like, what?
No, I feel so bad. Spike Jones made that. Why are there more than one? Why is there more than one Spike in Hollywood?
I don't know,
That's
man. Spike,
what I'm blaming it on.
man, Michael Keaton changed his name. I don't know why Jones couldn't do it too.
Yeah, so it's Spike Jones, and the first time I watched it, this is the movie where Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with his computer AI
Computer.
system. And when I first watched it, I was a little scared. I was like, this is going to be kind of weird. But I was like, you know what? If anyone can pull off being an AI system, it's going to be ScarJo. It just has to be. So,
Mean, she's getting the best voices out there, dude.
watching it was incredible the first time. And as soon as it was over, I started it again because I was like, I just witnessed something truly amazing and I need to rewatch this right
I gotta
now.
say, I have never immediately restarted a movie in my life.
Really?
And I
Yeah.
also have never watched Her in my life either.
That's a
It
shame.
has
That's
been
a
on
really
my
good movie.
Netflix queue for like a year.
It's not on Canadian Netflix. You should watch that today.
Maybe.
It's wonderful. Okay, continue. What's yours?
Okay, so I cheated. Right off the bat, I put this as my number 10 because I don't feel good about it, but I did it. So I'm going to say right now, there is a trilogy of films that came
Uh-oh.
out that set the bar for filmmaking. If you
Okay.
told me this trilogy was the greatest films ever made, you put them in one, like you could just call it one film, the greatest film ever made, I'd accept it. And you know what that trilogy is, Reed? You can probably guess. You know me enough.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna say it out loud.
Lord of the Rings,
Oh.
Reed. Lord of the Rings. It is the perfect trilogy.
Yeah.
Listen to me, Reed. Don't moan and groan. This is my lisp. Lord of the
This,
Rings, directed
yeah.
by Peter Jackson. The unfilmable book, which I have read half of. I've read half of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It is a lot of words, it's a lot of big words, a lot of stuff that I don't understand. But let me tell you something, man. The movies are the bar for blockbuster filmmaking. Like the craftsmanship and the care that went into making it, everything from the sets, which are still there. I want to visit Hobbiton. I want to go in New Zealand. Everything from the sets to the costumes. You know, like how they would wear like chain link, like chain mail. Like every single one of their costumes were handmade. They had somebody, like even like the people in the backgrounds were like handmade. Everything about that movie is how films should be done. And then he got real lazy during the Hobbit trilogy, but that's a different story.
You see, I think the Lord of the Ring movies are pretty good. I think the Lord of the Ring movies are did set the bar for blockbuster cinema, but I also think they're terribly overrated. They are not as good as everyone says they are. I just think because they're the Lord of the Rings movies is why everyone loves them. You know, I could name so many
Don't say
more
it. Don't say it.
movie series that are
Oh.
leaps and bounds better than Lord of the Rings.
And I gotta say, you're wrong. And I'm finding a new podcast host.
There's no one who could replace me. I am
Right.
perfect.
Go to your number nine, boy, before you disappoint me some more.
My number nine. This one is always so hard. My number nine is Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Just like you put a trilogy for your number 10. I
You
always
can
just
put
want
the
to put.
trilogy there. That's
No, I
like.
can't do that. I always want to put the trilogy of the Apes movies down because those movies are all incredible. That's a much better trilogy than Lord of the Rings. Those are also movies where it's like, once I finish watching, I'll start Rise, and by the time I finish War, I'm like, yeah, I gotta watch Rise again. It's such a perfect story, and man, I just love those movies, but I had to pick Rise out of the three because Rise is always the one that gives me the most feelings, and it's also the most real one. Not like real as in like plausible, but real as in like, dang, this stuff's actually happening because it's happening in like a modern state, whereas
A different feel to Rise than there is Dawn and War, because
yeah,
Dawn and
because
War happened post-apocalyptic.
That's always why it's stuck with me, as well as my boy James Franco is in Rise, and he's not in the other two, so
I gotta say, James Franco is not my boy,
he's
but
my boy. I would do anything for James Franco. I'd die for him.
I'm very happy that you mentioned the Planet of the Apes movies because that is my second favorite trilogy. So
Well, I mean,
we name dropped both my favorite trilogies. And
it's so much better than Lord of the Rings.
is not actually. It's works. Rise is my least favorite of the three. I've seen Rise the most though, because most of the time it's the same way with Lord of the Rings. When I start Rise and I start the Fellowship of the Ring, I'll watch it and I'll be like, oh man, I'm so excited to watch the entire trilogy, both of them. Like every single time I start either of them, and then I'm like, oh man, I got my fix. Like, you know what I mean? The War is my favorite of the trilogy though. But we're not talking about trilogies, we're talking about the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and I think it's a good pick.
All right,
I'm
let's
very
go into your number nine.
So my number nine is a little film directed by Darren
Okay.
Aronofsky. And so wrestling is very important to me, or it was very important to me. You know me. It's an on and off again thing in my life. And unlike boxing, there's not a lot of wrestling films. We got like Nacho Libre in here, but like that doesn't really. But you know what does count? The
What
greatest
counts?
possible wrestling film that could have ever been made, and Darren Aronofsky did it like right off the bat, and it's called The Wrestler.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen it.
This is the movie on my list that I've had in my life the longest, actually,
Yeah,
because
that's what
most of
I've.
these movies I watched for the first time after like 2014. But I watched this movie the year it came out. The year it was on rental because I rented it from like Family Video or something. And I just think that this is the perfect wrestling film. It's very sad. Like it's the most like gritty, like real life wrestling film you could possibly get. It's just like, and there's some brutal scenes in it, like when he sticks his hand in the bologna cutter. You know
Oh
what I'm talking
yeah.
about. And some of the extreme matches that he has where they're like just, I don't know, man. It's just so perfect. I can watch this movie every single year and not get tired of it.
It's definitely a good movie. I've only seen it once or twice, but I would definitely watch it again in a heartbeat. Mickey Rourke was a really good choice to play whatever the guy's name is. I can't remember right now, but because Mickey Rourke is like the poster.
Randy. I'm trying to. His name's Randy, I think. I can't
Okay,
remember. Randy the Ram.
Mickey Rourke's like the poster child of like broken men. So he really gave it 110% there. And I don't know if it was nominated for an Oscar or if he was nominated, but they both should have been.
I don't think it was nominated. It might have been nominated for Best Picture. I can't remember the year it came out. I
I
think it
think it
came
was
out in
2008.
2009.
Oh, it was one of those two.
Yeah, because he was advertising it during WrestleMania 25, and that was the first WrestleMania I ever watched. Yeah.
Okay. So my number eight is the real movie that should have won the 2016 Best Picture,
I
not
disagree
Moonlight.
already.
La
I
La
disagree
Land.
already.
I watch La La Land so many times each year, and it is one of my favorite movies of all time. Of course, it's my eighth favorite movie, I just said. There's just so much about this movie that I could just talk about this movie for an entire hour. I could talk about this movie for an entire episode. The colors are so nice. They're such rich, beautiful colors. The beats that they work off of, just the choreography of it all. Not even when there's actual music numbers going on, but just like the way they stand, the way they move is so perfectly directed. Even then, they did a musical, so the music numbers, like the mute, like I just love everything about it. All those songs are so good.
Some of the camera stuff in La La Land is insane. Like they're in the pool party scene where the camera's jumping in, like somebody's diving into the water and it comes out and then it comes up and then like the water comes off the camera and then everybody's dancing around it. And then there's like the scene in the interstate where at the very beginning of the movie. That Oscar class of 2016 with Moonlight and Arrival and La La Land is like,
That's just top-notch film right there.
And then we have the one that we just got today, which is not as good.
2018 should have taken some notes from
Yeah.
2016. Even
Yeah. I
2017 didn't have a
was.
lot going on.
I mean, 2017 is good too, man. There's a movie from
It's
2017 on my list. I'm gonna say that.
no, t no. Here's the thing: 20. It was good, but it wasn't as good as 2016. 2016 set a pretty good bar. I'm also gonna say that 2014 was a great year for film. I don't know if there's anything. Boyhood was one of the movies that I listed, but 2014 was the first year I actually watched the Oscars, like fully. Like usually I would watch bits and pieces, but 2014 was the first time I sat down and watched them entirely through. And
Mine was last year. I never, because I would like, after I got into film, shortly after that, I graduated high school and then I started working when the Oscars were on.
yeah, see, I would always try to be around when they were on. Because if the Oscars were on and someone was like, "Hey, you want to hang out?" I'd be like, "Not really," because I wanted to catch some of the Oscars. And then so finally, because usually I would get so bored. It's like 5 hours of
Last year they had
sitting
it
drunk,
marked on the
guys.
TV 2 hours long, I think, and it ended up going like 4.5.
That's crazy. I can't even imagine. I'm glad I didn't watch last year's. But yeah, so 2014 was like I watched like almost all of those movies, and same with 2016. With 2014 though, I watched almost all those movies after they came out. Whereas with
Yeah, that's what I
20s
did last year, basically.
with 2016, I watched almost all of them before the Oscars, so I knew what I was getting into. I watched those and I was like, I could make proper predictions, whereas before it was just like, I think this one's gonna win because people talk about it.
Yeah, that's how I was.
But
But
see,
yeah, well, oh.
every single year with the Oscars, I try to watch as many movies as I can before so I can actually form opinions. But like this year, I don't want to.
I also don't want to. Like, I don't have the. I want to see The Favorite. I want to see Roma. I can watch Roma right now. Literally, it's on Netflix.
I just think
Wait,
that
is it a Netflix film?
it's a Netflix film,
Like,
yeah.
the first one to get nominated for Best Picture, despite the fact that Mudbound deserved it last year.
Yeah, I don't
There.
know. I've recently decided I hate award season. Numbers.
But over the years, I've just had like I love it still, but my fondness has like slowly deteriorated a little bit, and I gotta say that it is an Oscar snub. It should have been nominated for Best Picture, should have been nominated for Best Actor. It's one of my favorite performances of all time, and I'm talking about Nightcrawler.
Ooh, yeah.
Nightcrawler is so good. Like, I think that by far the best performance of Jake Gyllenhaal's entire career.
I'll agree with that statement. I love Nightcrawler.
And it's like, it's kind of like Drive, where it's like, you're gonna love either one of those. Like, they're very similar in tone and the way that they're shot. And Riz Ahmed is even great in it.
Riz Ahmed's great in everything he does. Don't even worry about
Don't even worry about it.
it.
But yeah, this is like a film. Like, this film is the film on my list, one of them that I got into very early on in becoming like a film fan. Like, I just remember, and this, this is going to say how good it is, because I'm not somebody who can rewatch a movie right after watching it. Like, definitely not the same day. Like, I'm not going to do that. But occasionally, I will watch a movie once or twice in the same couple week span. I did that with The Wolf of Wall Street. I did it with The Hateful Eight. After I watched Nightcrawler, within a couple weeks, I was watching it again, which is like, it just shows how great this movie is. That like, I want my senior quote, not my yeah, my senior quote from my yearbook was from Nightcrawler.
What was it?
It was some like emo stuff. It was like, what if I told you it's not that I don't understand people, but that I don't like them. I want like a, it was some dramatic stuff, man. But yeah, Nightcrawler. It's not one that I could like go into detail about. There's a couple on my list, two or three specifically that I cannot go into like super detail about. But it's like, I have the movie poster up on my wall. I love this movie so much.
Yeah, I love it too, just not as much as Drive. Drive is beautiful, and this one is good. No, it's good, but it's not.
Jake Gyllenhaal's performance in Nightcrawler is better than Ryan Gosling's in Drive.
Maybe. I love Oscar Isaac's performance in Drive too. Everything about Drive is perfect to me.
I love Oscar Isaac, period.
Okay. Are you
He's a
ready to go
beautiful
into number
man.
seven? Or do you need more
Yeah.
to?
We
Okay.
can go on number one.
So my number seven is an Ang Lee film.
The Hawk?
No, we're talking about Life of Pi.
Oh, snap. His
This
second
movie,
best film behind Hawk.
this movie took me so long to actually watch. Like, I had it in my on my Netflix queue for so long, and then I bought it on Blu-ray for a dollar. And I was like, okay, I need to watch this movie. And then still, like, half a year later, I was finally like, okay, I need to watch this movie. I just finished reading the book. I'm gonna watch the movie now. So I watched it, and I was absolutely astonished. The movie, of course, isn't exactly book accurate, but I don't care about that. The movies aren't books, and books aren't movies. I
Different
don't expect them to be. But Life of Pi is visually the greatest movie I have ever seen.
That's high
That's
praise.
why it's number seven, because I love the movie, but it can't beat out everything just because of visuals. Before Life of Pi, The Shining held that as my the greatest, the most beautiful movie, most well-shot movie I've ever seen. But the visuals in Life of Pi are just absolutely amazing. There's this one specific scene where Pi and Richard Parker are on the boat, of course, and it's an overhead shot, and the water is clear, and you see a whale or something swimming under him, and it is just so
I know what shot you're
beautiful.
talking about. Remember the little light shot? Like I don't know if you were imagining stuff, but it was like a
No.
nighttime, and it was like, you know
Yeah,
what I'm talking about? Like
I know
the
what you're
whale
talking
made
about.
light came out of the water.
Yeah. And then there's the there's I th yeah. Ugh. Then there's the whole scene on that island, that weird
Yeah,
island with
Richard
the
Parker and the meerkat.
that was so nice. There's hardly a time where it's like I'll watch a movie and I'm not pleased with 100% of it, but this is one of the times where I watch this movie and it is one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. It is the most beautiful movie I've ever seen, and I have no problems with it.
I would not call it the most beautiful film I have ever seen. I love Life of Pi. I love Richard Parker. I think Life of Pi was one of the first films that I saw where I was like, oh man, this is freaking great. Like, you know what I mean? Like where you start to like critically like assess a film for the first time. I think it was early on in me becoming a film fan where I watched Life of Pi. And number one, I gotta say, it's the most beautiful 4K. One of the most beautiful 4Ks I own. I gotta give that to The Revenant, because I think The Revenant might be the most beautiful film I've ever seen. It's not on my list, but The Revenant beats it out for that. But like, when I figured out that the man that made Life of Pi made Hulk, oh my God.
Yeah, me too, honestly. I didn't know that, and then I started watching the opening credits and I saw that and I was like, no way this man made.
Didn't he win Best Director for Life of Pi?
He
Or
better have.
he got nominated for everything, I think. I
Yeah,
imagine.
which he deserved.
I love that movie.
Okay, let's go into yours.
So my number seven is a little Stanley Kubrick joint.
Ooh, we just mentioned him. We name dropped him earlier with The Shining.
But it's not The Shining. It is his best film, his last film. Eyes Wide Shut, one of the most underrated films of all time. The film that got the man killed.
I have nothing to say about this movie. I've never seen it, so you take the floor.
Eyes Wide Shut is about Tom Cruise and his wife, Nicole Kidman, who have a really rocky relationship. And she reveals to him that she wanted to cheat on him and run away with this man. And then that sends him on this weird journey over a span of like a week or something, where he's like he tries to do something exciting or something, and he goes and he finds himself in the middle of a sex cult, and they're like sacrificing people but kind of not, like you don't know, like it's a big mystery, and like things happen. I'm not going to spoil the movie, because anybody who has not seen Eyes Wide Shut needs to go watch Eyes Wide Shut right now. But the way that Stanley Kubrick used color in this movie, like color wise, it's his best film. It's one of the best films ever made, in my opinion. And like, this is one of the other ones, so I can't go like super into detail, because like this is like an anomaly, because like the first time I tried to watch this, I did not make it all the way through. I got about 10 minutes in and I was like, this is not the kind of movie I want to watch right now. And then I came back to it, which is like how I've watched all of Stanley Kubrick's films, basically. And I came back to it and I watched it, and like, it's out of this entire list, it is probably the movie I have seen the most. The Wrestler's been in my life the longest, but in the short span of time that I've of the couple years that I have watched Eyes Wide Shut, it is the one of the number like the top films that I can just put on at any moment, which is very weird because most people find it uncomfortable and boring. But like, it's like a 3-hour movie that I could watch every day of my life if I needed
But
to. Like, if yes.
that just says a lot about you. You're uncomfortable and boring.
Okay. We can go into our number six. Like, oh crap.
Okay. My number six is my most watched movie, I think, of all time. That and La La Land are probably the ones. But number six is the F word. This is one where, when I'm looking at my list, this one sticks out like a sore thumb. This and another one that I'll get into later are just like they kind of feel out of place, but the F word is so charming. That's like the one thing I can just, if I had to use one word to describe it, it's just charming. It has Zoe Kazan, Daniel Radcliffe, and Adam Driver, and another actress I forget the name of, doing just great, funny performances. I don't have a lot to say about this one except for that I just love it so much. I
It's one of
can.
those movies that you can't really go into like complete detail, because it's like an anomaly. Like, why do I like this so much?
Yeah, because
Why does
it's
this
weird.
appeal?
Like, whenever I'm bored, it's just like, I'm bored. I really want to watch the F word, and I'll just put it on, and I know like half the
Movies like
lines in this movie. Like there's a few movies where it's like I can watch the movie and recite it while I watch it, and the F word's one of them because I've seen it so many times. I watched this movie for the first time last summer, so in the span of a
you've
year
seen
and a
it that
bit,
many times.
in the span of a year and a bit, I've probably watched this movie like Six or seven times, probably.
That is a lot because I've been a fan of Eyes Wide Shut for like 4 years and I've watched it like six or seven times. And that's like the most watched movie on my list.
Yeah, it's crazy. I love the F word. Daniel Radcliffe is amazing and hilarious. Like, oh, there's just so much wit in there. Like, the humor in it is not like slapstick or like very obvious. Sometimes it's so subtle, and like sometimes people would be like, "Wait, what just happened?" And it's kind of like shocking, and it's so good. I don't know. I love that movie. Have you seen it?
So I should no, I have not, so I should definitely put this on my watch list.
Yes, but the fun thing is in America it's called What If, not the F word.
What if? Okay, I'll have to look it up, mate.
Okay, well, what's yours? What's yours, my friend?
Okay, so I know that I said that La La Land did not deserve Best Picture over Moonlight, which is one of my honorable mentions, and this is going to be confusing. Moonlight is a more complete film. It deserved Best Picture 100%. Because there's a glaring flaw for me in my love for La La Land, which is my number six.
Oh wow, you placed La La Land higher than me.
Yeah, I did. And I also didn't think it deserved Best Picture over Moonlight, which is an honorable mention of mine. So
Wow.
Moonlight is a complete film. Story-wise, directing, acting, everything is a complete film. La La Land is not a complete film. But what it does best, it does better than most people I have seen who've made a movie in the last so many years. La La Land, like, I mean, we've already talked about it. It might be the only movie on both of our lists. I think there's one more that might be on your list and my list. But La La Land is visually, like, I know I said Eyes Wide Shut is one of the best films with color, but La La Land might do it better. And I've
It
always
does.
put them as six and seven since I watched them because, like, I love them evenly. They're a tie in my head. But
Well,
La La Land,
what's the problem with La La Land?
the story and characters and performances, like I don't know about the performances. Like, I love them. Emma Stone, I'm happy she got Best Actress. But it's not like Moonlight level of quality of performance. The story is just like, when I watch La La Land, I'm watching it for the visuals. Like, it's the only film on this list that is basically 100% there because of the direction and the
Really?
visuals and the choreography. Yeah, like, visually, it's one of the best films ever made. I love it so
Man,
much.
I love the story from La La Land, and I
It's
love.
a good story, but it's not like it's not something that I find like insane. Like, it's not like compelling. Like, it's just an all right story that has like a little twist at the end that they don't get together, which has that ending sequence where he's like singing and like they're going through the relationship and everything is one of the greatest scenes in film history, in my opinion. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I love that movie. I just watched it over the weekend. Oh, I'm just hurt, man.
You're hurt because wait, which reason? Which reason?
I'm hurt because you don't like the characters in the story.
I like the characters and I like the story, but what I'm saying is that Moonlight's just a more complete film.
Oh, okay.
It's
Okay.
just it,
Okay.
but I've also only seen Moonlight once, so maybe if I watched it a second time, I'd like it more than La La Land, like on my list. But like La La Land, been like my number six or my number seven since I watched it, and it's
Okay.
like, you know what? You probably have some of those films where it's like one thing is so good that you love it.
Yeah,
But
Life
like
of Pi.
the other things may not be. Life of Pi.
That's
Okay.
like basically Life of Pi for me.
You can go
Okay.
into your number five now.
Yeah, the fifth. We're on the second half of this now. I'm going with The Big Lebowski for number five.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't even on your list like a week ago when we were talking about it.
Yeah, but I had to rewatch it because I hadn't seen it in a while. And I, oh man, there's just something about this movie that always makes me want to come back and watch it again. It's one of the only movies where I needed the Funko Pop of the dude, which is kind of specific, but like they made the Big Lebowski pops, and those ones are pretty hard to find. But luckily I got the dude. He was kind of expensive. But I got him, and it was one of the best. It's one of my favorite pops still. And yeah, I don't know.
Jeff Bridges is very likable, man.
Jeff
Like
Bridges, John
John
Goodman,
Goodman,
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi. I was about to call him William Dafoe.
This movie has it all. Like, the cast is so perfect and they gel so well together. Just the way that the script is so funny. Like, it's the
It
best
is.
comedy I've ever seen. A lot of the times,
I'd call it the best comedy I've ever seen as well. I think it's the only comedy I've ever seen that I say 100% whatever year it came out in probably would deserve best picture, maybe. Like the fact that you can mix comedy and like the film is made to a point where it's like so well made that it's on the level of like quote unquote serious film.
yeah.
If you know what I mean.
And like, it's like one of the only bowling movies ever made. It's so, I could, I, this, that's another one where it's so hard to unpack it, but if we ever did an episode just on
Which we
Lebowski,
are, we
which we
will.
will, yep, I will have no problem talking about that for an hour because that movie is incredible and I love it so much.
Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh yeah, as Lebowski as well.
Everything that he does.
Sorry?
He's amazing in everything.
Yeah, he's pretty great. Okay, let's move into yours.
My number five is a movie that you don't like that I love and I cherish. Also starring Philip Seymour Hoffman, who I love and I cherish. And that is The Master.
Okay.
I don't know. So some of the direction The Master is some of the best direction I've ever seen. Like when he's like running through the field after he just poisoned a man, and like the camera's like following him, and the score is incredible. Like the score is one of the best scores of all time. But the best part about The Master is Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix, who both deserved Oscars that year. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman deserved it more than Christoph Waltz did for Django. I'm gonna say Philip Seymour Hoffman's performance especially is one of the greatest performances in film history. M
Wow.
maybe the best performance on my list. The only one that I think would compete with it on my list would be Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler. But even then, I think that Philip Seymour Hoffman's performance is better. Like I rank it among like the Heath Ledger's Jokers and the Daniel Day-Lewis My Left Foot and yeah, like Philip Seymour Hoffman is so good in this movie. And yes.
I don't not like this movie. I just don't understand why you like it so much. I watched it and I was like, you know what? This is pretty good. And I bought it on Blu-ray. But I've heard you talk about this movie so highly, and so like I respect that, but I've just never seen the appeal as much as you. It's just kind of
I think it's
there,
one of
in
the
my
most
opinion.
complete films. Like how I say Moonlight's a complete film. I think that The Master is one of the most complete films ever made.
It's a pretty good
Like
movie.
single category. And plot twist, spoiler alert, not the only Paul Thomas Anderson film on my list. There's
What?
another one. He's the only man. He's the only man. They got two spots on my list.
There's a man on my list. Or I can't say that. I'll leave that as a surprise.
All right, you can go into your number four.
Number four is kind of weird to me. It always has been kind of weird to me. It's Creed. All the Rocky movies. Out of all the Rocky movies, I chose Creed, which a lot of people would hate me for, but there's something about Creed that is just so great to me. With Rocky, it's so good. I love it. I love Rocky 2 more. But something about watching Sylvester Stallone mumble for 2 hours always kind of annoys me. So having Creed is so good because Sylvester Stallone mumbles, but he's not the main character anymore. Now it's Michael B. Jordan, who is one of this
He's one of the
generation's
upcoming
best
players.
actors. Exactly. And he does such a great performance. The soundtrack's really good. Ryan Coogler directed this, and he always has good soundtracks. Black Panther and Creed are two main ones. Everyone likes Black Panther more, but I would take a bullet for the Creed soundtrack.
Also, underrated Ryan Coogler, his only other film that he's directed, Fruitvale Station, also starring Michael B. Jordan. If you haven't seen it, watch it. All right, you can go back to what you were saying.
But yeah, as a boxing movie, I think this is my favorite one. There's another boxing movie, Southpaw. I love that movie. I haven't seen it in a while, so maybe it would crack my list, but
I've seen Southpaw. I've never seen a Rocky or a Creed film.
yeah, I don't know. A lot of people actually don't like Southpaw that much, from what I
I liked
understand.
it a lot.
I love that movie. But of course, I'm not talking about Southpaw right now. We're talking about Creed, which is so much better. And I love when they're all of the scenes, like with the main love interest in the movie. She's,
Tessa Thompson.
yeah, that's Tessa Thompson, and she's incredible in like everything she does. But she also has a really good Jersey accent, in my opinion, and it's really funny to watch the two of them grow with each other, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I've never seen Creed, so I can't really say anything about it.
Yeah, so I guess we can just shuffle into yours.
So Tarantino is very key in getting me into movies. I'd say that he is the number one like driving factor that got me into film. When I watched Pulp Fiction and I watched Django Unchained, it was like it clicked for me. But my favorite Tarantino film and my number four pick is Inglourious Basterds.
That one almost was a honorable mention for me.
See, I thought Inglourious Basterds was going to be on your list, which is why I said that earlier. But like from the very beginning of this film, number one, the best opening scene in any movie ever, with Hans Landa coming to the Frenchman, I think his farm, and coming in and just like having that like long discussion where the Jewish people are just the Jewish family are just sitting under the house waiting,
Yeah.
like they're trapped, and it's like Hans Landa, Christoph Waltz. I know I said he didn't deserve it for Django, but like I'm pretty sure he got the Oscar for Hans Landa, and he 100% deserved it for Hans Landa. That is one of the greatest supporting actor performances. Like that and Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master are two of the greatest. But like not only that, but it has Brad Pitt in one of my favorite Brad Pitt roles ever.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
Like
I'm not a huge Brad Pitt fan, but when I watch Inglourious Basterds,
is
when the
so
credits start
quotable.
to roll, when the credits start to roll, I was like, "Am I a fan of Brad Pitt? I can't tell because."
It is so quotable. Like, how many times have you said, "I need my Nazi scalps"?
I've
Like,
never said that. I'm so sorry.
you've never said that.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched that for the first time.
You watch it for the wait, what?
I watched it for the first time in like May. So that's one of the reasons it's also not on my list because I've only seen it once, but it's a
That's
great
kind of
film.
like how The Big Lebowski didn't make my list because it.
There is not a single Tarantino movie on my list, and that's because the only one I've seen more than once is Pulp Fiction.
And that's an issue because Pulp Fiction is one of his worst, despite everybody thinking it's one of his best. Hot take. But yeah, like even the. Like there's a bunch of different side plots and like. even like the one with the I don't know her name, the Jewish girl who's pretending to be whatever she's pretending to be, who owns the theater with the black man, and she's in love with him, and then she ends up burning it down in order to kill all the Nazis. Like,
I love that story.
even that's great. Like, it's very hard to just sit here and single out every single film and say, this is what's so great about it in a very short span of time. But
Inglourious Bet. Sorry, go.
when I'm sitting here and I'm saying like, oh, this performance is great, it's like these films are like the standouts in cinema. Like, these are like the best in my opinion. So like, if you've never seen Inglourious Basterds or like La La Land, like, you need to like see those movies.
With Inglourious Bastards, I did not expect it to pan out the way it did. I thought it was gonna be historically accurate, like sort of.
You were wrong a lot.
When Hitler died, I was like, "What the heck's going on?" It
Like, that was
was.
so cool, because like, why not kill Hitler, man? If you have a chance to make a movie where you can just kill Hitler in a cinema by having a dude like, and like, they even showed it. They cut to like Hitler's like the fake face where he was just getting shot with hundreds of bullets.
That was so good.
Like, it's a fun movie. Like, I think it's Tarantino's masterpiece, and I think he even thinks that himself. I think he acknowledged it at the end of the film when he had Auto Rain, Brad Pitt slicing the swastika into a Hans Landa's head, and he said, "I think this might be my masterpiece." I think that was Tarantino acknowledging it at the end of the film.
Oh, that's pretty meta.
It is, but it's also like a popular thing to say. Like, it's not like I'm coming up with it, but I think
I think one last thing about Inglourious Basterds, I think it's one of those movies where it's like it's so beautiful to watch. It's so fun. It's so good. I have nothing really wrong with it.
it's everything. Like, when they're breaking out Hugo Stiglitz from the prison, the way that that's cut together, and it'll be like, they'll be like, that's Hugo Stiglitz, and then it cuts to them, and it's just like Hugo Stiglitz' name in like big bold letters, and then it's like, it's this, and he killed three German soldiers, and then like, it's just him going around killing German soldiers, and they break in and grab him, and it's like the music cues that are coming in, like the you know what I'm talking about, like the hard, like, I don't know if it's like a guitar or something that came in, like, it's like little things, like the bear Jew scene. He comes out with a bat.
Yeah,
It's
that
like,
movie
it's
is
little
so
things,
good.
it's the funnest Tarantino movie.
Yeah, I'll agree to that. All right, let's get into the
Most
top three now.
ridiculous. Go into
My third favorite of all time is Raiders of the Lost Ark. When Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out, that's when I was first introduced to Indiana Jones, and it quickly became my favorite movie series of all time. And I think I would still say it holds up to that because it holds so much nostalgia, and I love it. And oh, I could talk forever about those movies. I don't even hate Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I think that one gets a lot of unfair hate, although it is a bad movie. Compared to the others, it's not a bad movie, is what I think, because everyone talks about how horrible that movie is, but it just doesn't hold up to the other three Indiana Jones movies. But I think it's a pretty fun movie. But of course, I have to put Raiders of the Lost Ark on my list because that's the one that started it all. And when I rewatched these movies 2 years ago, Raiders was the one that stood out to me the most. Raiders was the one that I watched and I was like, oh, okay, so this movie, these movies really are as good as I remember them. Because I was so afraid that when I rewatched them, I was going to be like, oh, well, these movies are still great, but they are not as great as I remember them. that my thoughts were totally backfired on me because Raiders of the Lost Ark is amazing. And after I rewatched that, I was like, I bought the Blu-ray set finally because the Blu-ray set was always expensive and I could never find it. But I went out of my way to go and buy it online as soon as I could.
So, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I have not watched the Indiana Jones film since I was like six. I
That's a
recently got the
problem.
movies, but I have not got around to watching them yet. So, like, I can't remember anything about them, like, at all. Like, I might as well just say I've never seen them because I cannot remember a single thing about the Indiana Jones films from when I watched them.
I think the Indiana Jones movies are better than Inglourious Basterds.
Okay, well, we'll see, man. I feel like you're probably wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have much else to say. Steven Spielberg did an amazing job. Steven Spielberg's amazing, but he hasn't really made either of our lists aside from this one. And I think, to me, this is my favorite Spielberg movie. It also holds a lot of nostalgic power, but the nostalgia isn't what's driving it, I think, because when I watched them from like 2008 until 2010, like religiously. I watched those movies so many times. And so from like 2010 until 2016 or 17, I hadn't watched them because I just kind of forgot about them. And that's what sucked because those movies held so much power in my life. And just to not watch them anymore was so weird to me. But I never had the chance to watch them, or I was never in the mood to watch them. So I finally made myself watch them again, and they held up to my standards. Oh man, I don't know. That's another movie that I'll make you watch so we can talk about.
Yeah, it's going to be one of your picks.
Yep. Okay.
Nice.
What's yours?
So my number three is the second Paul Thomas Anderson flick on my list. It is my favorite Mark Wahlberg performance, which is not hard to do.
Transformers 4.
Yeah, for sure. Directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. It is another Philip Seymour Hoffman film. Like, he plays like a small little role, but he's in it and he's great. It's got Julianne Moore, Burt Reynolds, who said that he regretted doing this movie, but it's Boogie Nights.
Yep.
Have you seen Boogie Nights?
Never seen Boogie Nights, so just talk about it and I'll listen.
So it's about Mark Wahlberg playing, I can't remember what his character's original name was, but it ends up becoming Dirk Diggler. He plays a porn star who gets like brought into the fold by Burt Reynolds' character, who's like the Stanley Kubrick of adult filmmaking. Who's like, I want to entice them with the story. I want them to watch this, get what they need out of it, but still watch it. Like he's like the Stanley Kubrick of adult filmmaking, and he brings a young Mark Wahlberg into the fold, and he ends up becoming Dirk Diggler, which is like his alter ego. And it's like the Goodfellas of Paul Thomas Anderson's filmography, where it takes like the same it's the same style that Casino and The Wolf of Wall Street and that Martin Scorsese has. You know what I'm talking about, where it's like very quickly edited. Like there's a lot of music scores, like a lot of like a little like beats, and it's like the rise and fall of a character, but like it spans like 10 or so years, or not even
Okay.
it, in like 10 years, but like it spans like a long like a huge section of time, and like it'll just like cut from like 1 year to the next to like show him, like, you know what I mean, like the way that
Yeah, I
Martin
know what you mean.
films. But it's like the Goodfellas of a film about a porn star, and it's like so good. Like, John C. Reilly's in it, and he plays a little role too, and he's really funny in it. Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it, he's funny. Like, everybody is great in it. It's one of those movies. Also, I said this about Nightcrawler, where like after I watched it, like I watched it again that week. Like, I think I watched it like 2 days after watching it the first time. It's one of the movies that I've seen the most. It's also one of those movies that I can put on for like 30 minutes and then turn off and be like say like I'm waiting to go to sleep. I can put Boogie Nights on and watch it and like enjoy it for that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's just like it's just great. Like it's not like a master where it's like expertly crafted by Paul Thomas Anderson. But it's like fun.
Yeah.
So that's my number three.
Okay, my number two is another movie that I kind of think is weird to have on my list, but I revisit it once or twice a year, specifically in the summer, and that's The Way, Way Back. It is so obscure. I have not met another person who has watched this movie unless I've told them to, or it's someone in my family. This is a family classic. It's directed by Jim Rash, and he's also in it. Jim Rash, that's the dean from Community.
Really?
Yeah. And Sam Rockwell's in it, and he gives a great performance. Toni Collette is in it too.
I love Sam Rockwell. I love Toni Collette. I said she deserved that Oscar earlier.
You would like this movie, I think, especially with the cast. Steve Carell's in it too. It's such a deep cast, and I don't really know how to describe it. It's just one of those movies where it takes place over the course of, I think, a month or so, and it's this guy, and he's really awkward, and it's just showing this boy trying to blossom, especially when he doesn't know anybody at this lake, because they're at this cabin for the summer, and he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know anyone. He's really awkward, and that's showing him grow over the course of the summer. There's a lot of good scenes. It's hilarious.
You're building
He
up
starts
a lot
to.
of suspense, man.
Sorry?
I said you're building up a lot of suspense.
Dude, you need to watch this movie. If anyone hasn't seen this movie, they need to go out and watch it before Eyes Wide Shut or anything else you've named on your list, because this is better than it. It's such a fun movie. It's one of those movies where it's like you can I just get lost in it, and I get so immersed in it. Like, there's times where I'll watch a movie, but I know I'm watching a movie. I'll be watching a movie, but I get lost in it, so I kind of just forget I'm watching a movie, and I'm like just watching. I don't even know how to describe it. Do you know that feeling where you aren't watching a movie anymore? You're like part of it.
I
And
can't think of like a movie that got me like one, maybe my next pick. Like, I
like,
don't know.
this is weird for me because it's like it's not even visually perfect. It just has such a compelling story, and the characters work so well, and the music in it is so nice too.
What's the
I don't
film
know.
called?
The Way, Way Back.
Because you did not say that. You just went full review mode without saying.
I definitely said The Way, Way Back. If I didn't, I'm sorry. I don't know. It's so good. I love this movie.
I have never seen it, never heard of it, besides when you've
Oh.
said something about it before, I think.
You're missing out. I guess there's not much more to talk about with it, so you can kind of just jump into your next pick, I guess.
My second pick is a movie that you don't like very much,
Okay.
that I love, that I watched for the second time recently, and it was just as good as the first. It was directed by Greta Gerwig. You already know what movie I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Best picture last year, and I love it, and I was rooting for it despite the fact that maybe The Shape of Water deserved it more, just based on technical aspects of the film. And then it's Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Bird is one of the most important films, I think, for any generation to watch. Like, if you're gonna watch one movie on my list, you should probably watch Lady Bird. Not because it's the best movie on my list, but because of what it is. Like, I think that Especially if you're like 15 to like 25 and you're like my age, like I'm 20, like if you watch this movie, like you're gonna, no matter what age you are, but especially like around my age, you're gonna feel something, I think. Reed didn't because he's like heartless, but
See, my problem with Lady Bird was I heard nothing except Lady Bird's the best movie for like a month or two. So I finally got it, finally went on Netflix, and I was so excited to watch it. I literally stopped everything to watch it, and I watched it, and I was so disappointed because it's not as great as everyone said it was. It was kind of just it's a good movie, I'll give it that. But I don't know if I'll ever want to rewatch it. There's just there was there the Lady Bird isn't a compelling character to me. I don't care
think
about
she
her.
is. I
I don't know.
think that is was like character story wise one of the better films of the last so many years. I think like especially considering it's Greta Gerwig's first direct, like his her first job directing, like the way that she directed this movie, and Chris Stuckman did a review of it, and I'm kind of like about to regurgitate what he said because what he said is true. The way that she directed it made it seem like this world was already like lived in, like these characters are real. And that's why I said maybe my second pick could be that, where it's like this is real, this isn't a movie. Where it's like she started a scene with something already going on. Like they're already in the middle of something, and then we just get like the end of a conversation. Like Chris Stuckman said that, and it's the truth. That it's like these characters feel real. This is like the best representation of a mother and a daughter relationship on film, I think. And maybe like family wise, it might be one of the best representations on film. And I just think that like I think that this is out of all the films I've seen, I think this is the movie that you're gonna get something out of if you watch it. Like everybody, whether it's a mother or a daughter, anything, like anybody can probably get something out of this movie. And it's like this movie, it's just like I just think that it's perfect, honestly. Like I know you don't like it. It wasn't even on my list a week ago. Now it's number
That's insane.
two. Yeah, well, I watched it a second time and it was just as good. It was just as great.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it all that much.
No, like I feel like Saoirse Ronan's, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Her performance as Lady Bird is one of the best female-led performances I've seen in movies. Because it's like she's like a 24-year-old and she's playing this like 17-year-old and she's doing it like incredibly. Like you believe, like I'm pretty sure everybody else in the film is the right age, besides maybe Timothy Chalamet. I don't know how to pronounce the dude's name, but you believe that she's a 17-year-old.
Yeah, I guess. I don't
I don't
know.
know. Greta Gerwig deserved the best director nom she got last year. I'm very happy she got it. That's all I gotta say, man. Lady Bird is an incredible film. Reed's tripping.
Okay. Are we ready to move into number one?
What's your number one reader?
I think you know what it is. It is the second Coen Brothers movie on the list. Inside Llewyn Davis. I had never heard of this movie until I just kind of stumbled upon it. Like, a lot of times there's like a movie where I'll hear a lot about it and then I'll eventually watch it, but Inside Llewyn Davis was just kind of one I was like, oh, what's this movie? I have no idea. And I kind of put it on. And the first time I watched it, I liked it, but it didn't stick with me as much as other movies stick with me after the first time I watch it. But Oscar Isaac's performance was really good, and I thought it was really an original idea, so I decided to rewatch it like a week or two later, and I really liked it the second time. There's just something about it that was just so compelling the second time I watched it. John Goodman's hilarious in it. Oscar Isaac delivers an amazing performance. I have no idea if he was nominated for anything, but he really deserved something with this because he's just absolutely incredible. I don't know. I've seen this movie so many times over the past year or two. Not as many as I've seen like the F word, but I've watched this movie at least once a year, and I love it. It's not as beautiful as like La La Land, but that's the thing I love about it. It's filmed with more grays and darker colors, but that's because it's in the 60s when things are a little darker. And this guy's life is pretty bad. He's having a really tough time. He doesn't have a house. He's couch surfing, and he's trying to make a living off of his music career, and he can't seem to do that. So he's kind of struggling. And that's what I love about this movie because it feels so real, and I don't know, like there's not like a huge, if someone were to ask me what Inside Llewyn Davis is about, I'd kind of struggle a bit because it's like, what's Big Lebowski about? Oh, it's about this, it's this bowling movie where these guys get caught up in a big money stuff, and it's crazy. But like with Inside Llewyn Davis, it's just so pure. It's, I don't know, it covers some time where you're just watching Lewin's life.
I have
I
never
would
seen
want.
the movie. I'm a big Coen Brothers fan. I need to see this movie. I need to see the rest of their filmography in general. But I also love Oscar Isaac a lot. Like, I put him up there with Michael B. Jordan. I think he's better than Michael B. Jordan as far
Yeah,
as
I
acting
agree.
goes. I think, especially in terms of like the roles that he's decided to take over the years.
Aside from Apocalypse, but yeah, I don't know. I could talk about this movie forever. There's just so much to unpack with it. It's such a real movie. And what I hate is not many people talk about it. I never hear anyone talk about how great this movie is because it is I think it's one of the most underrated movies of all time. Definitely one of the most underrated Coen Brothers movies of all time.
You're gonna
And
have
I
to
want to
pick it one
watch it now.
for your movie pick.
What was that?
1 week, one of these months, you're gonna have to pick it for your movie pick
I
and make
will.
me watch it for the first time. And we'll do
I
a whole
will.
episode.
Okay, let's get into your number one
Okay, so
already.
I took a different approach for this. So my second pick was like this emotional thing, which by rights, this my Lady Bird should be my number one. But I didn't. You went with this, like this beautiful, pure thing, and you know what I'm going with? Goodfellas. It's like if I had to watch one movie for the rest of my life, I would probably pick Goodfellas. I'd have a few, probably a few films on my list that I would pick from in my head. Like I wouldn't pick Lady Bird, but I'd pick Goodfellas for sure. It's I'm a big. I love Martin Scorsese. Like. One of my favorite directors of all time. And I love the way that his films are edited and put together and formatted and structured, like the way that Goodfellas and The Wolf of Wall Street and Casino and like even Boogie Nights, which is my third pick, has the same type of feel to it as Goodfellas. It's just like this like quick thing where it's like it makes it so rewatchable and so enjoyable. Like the same lady did the editing for all of them too. Like there's this old lady that did the editing for Goodfellas and Wolf of Wall Street and stuff. And she does such a good job to where it makes Martin Scorsese look even better than he already is. It's like Goodfellas is one of those things where it's like Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, like I'm a big Robert De Niro fan. I don't know how you feel about him, but
He's pretty all right.
I love he's better than all right, you hater. I love that man and I love Goodfellas. Like I quote it all the time. Like it's one of those films, it's like Inglourious Basterds where it's really quotable. And like there's like just like when Goodfellas is brought up, there's so many scenes that come to mind. Like the scene where Joe Pesci's making the guy dance with the gun, and then he accidentally kills him, or he shoots him in the foot. He shoots him in the foot, and then he comes back later, and it's like this kid that they're training to be like you know how you would start out like in the gangsters with like being like the little kid, like the teenager that like does whatever they say, like bring him a water, bring him this. So it's that kind of kid, and he gets shot in the foot because Joe Pesci's crazy, and then he comes back later and he tells him to F off or something. He says something to Joe Pesci, like he's being sassy to Joe Pesci, and he shoots him. Like he kills the kid. And then in like there's scenes like that, and then there's like a scene where they're in a diner where this guy comes up and starts talking to Joe Pesci and running his mouth, and then all of a sudden Joe Pesci just starts stabbing him. And
I have never seen Goodfellas. I
it's insane.
think that's a mistake.
The fact that you have not seen Goodfellas is insane to me. One of the greatest movies ever. Like it's even like it's I don't I also don't think its technical sides are appreciated enough. Like it has one of the best. I'm not like this film nerd where I can be like, oh, this shot is this, like I don't know what a Dutch angle is specifically, but I know what a tracking shot is, and I know what a good tracking shot is. I'm a huge fan of having films where there's long scenes of no cuts, and there's a scene in Goodfellas where Ray Liotta's character is like walking from the back of a club because he enters in from the side and comes in through like these corridors, and then he goes into the kitchen and he's like giving everyone money, and then he sits down at his table, and the entire thing is like couple minutes long, and it's like no cuts, and it's just a straight tracking shot, and it's beautiful. Like I love things like that. Yeah, Goodfellas is my favorite movie of all time.
Inside Llewyn Davis is my favorite movie of all time.
Neither of us has seen the other's number one pick.
And that's sad. Eventually, I'm sure we will get to doing that.
Yes.
I guess let's wrap it up. You have to reveal what we're watching next week.
Okay,
What are you making me watch?
so every single week, so every month we want to do classics. We want to do a new film, and we each want to pick a movie. In our own weeks where the other one has to watch it, and when then we do a video about it, and sometimes it'll probably change, sometimes it won't, depending on what's released. Like I know the summer is going to be different.
We're not married to this idea. Like, I'm sure, yeah, we'll change things up as we need to, but
What I mean? But right
as
now,
of right now.
this is how it's going to work because it's January and February.
Yeah,
And
and there's not much coming out right now.
so what I have written down is the film that we're going to watch next week. Reed's not excited about this, but we're going to watch Princess Mononoke.
So we're getting all these people watching, and then we shoot them with some anime.
Listen, Reed, Princess Mononoke. I'm very excited for you to watch it because you have not seen a Hayao Miyazaki film. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. Like you need to, once you get past the anime aspect of it, which I don't need to get past because I like anime, but once you get past the anime aspect of it, you're going to love it. I'm very excited to show this to you. I'm sure you're going to pick a movie that you're trying to make me watch forever just because I'm doing this to you. But we're going to find a way to watch. You're gonna watch
Yeah,
it,
I guess.
review on it, be excited.
Okay, well, I guess that's the end of this. With that being said, I just want to say thanks to everybody just for spending this time with us. It's pretty cool. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of people watching this first one, but you know what? Fingers crossed.
Gotta build up. We gotta build up.
If you like this, follow us on Instagram at the Dudes Abide. And tell your friends about this. Share it online. That'd be pretty special. I think it'd be pretty cool. It'd mean a lot to me. If you're listening to this on Apple Music or Spotify, which I know we'll get there soon, or even if you're listening to it on Anchor, we'd appreciate it if you could drop a rating. Even if you just liked this one, just do something. Apparently, ratings actually matter a lot. So
Unlike
yeah,
with
just
professional wrestling.
exactly. But yeah, I appreciate that. And
Next week, come back. We're gonna watch Princess Mononoke. Reed's gonna love it.
I hope
He's gonna
so.
become a he's gonna become a an anime fan. He's gonna list his